welcome to the Kickstarter edition, August 3rd, 2018. This is the show where we talk about the Kickstarter games we're backing, might back, and have already received and played. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
And I'm Chris. And this week, we're backing Thunderstone Quest expansion, Pumpkin Patch Bad Seeds. We're going to be watching Call to Adventure, Bears vs. Lumberjacks, Sabotage, The Curse of the Misfortunate Lane, and Run, Fight, or Die. Finally, we'll end with a review of Hansi. I think that's how you say that.
I've been saying Hansi.
Hansi Solo. Could be that. So
when you see it spelled not the way I type it, it has like a little accent that I think makes it Hansi instead of Hansi.
And we'll get to where that came from because it's not directly a Kickstarter, but it's totally indirectly related to a Kickstarter.
It's mostly a Kickstarter.
Mostly a Kickstarter. So we're at Gen Con this week. We're not at Gen Con right this very second, but when you are hearing this, as long as you're hearing it on Friday, we will be at Gen Con, and you could be listening to this just before our live show at Gen Con at 5 o'clock.
It's true.
It's going to be an exciting show. But
I hope so.
I mean, you're already there if you're listening to this, so we won't
You know that there's a packed crowd. You know that they're getting really excited for us. You know there's a big stack of games about to be given away.
There are so many games. And I actually feel bad now because we're talking about this. And if you're listening to this and you're not at the live show, well, you can try showing up. We'll put the link in the show notes, probably. Actually, take a look at our last topic episode for the link. It's sold out, but show up, see if somebody doesn't show up. And yeah, I just packed up all the games. I have way too many. I don't know if they're all going to fit in the car. It's insane. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some Kickstarters, though.
Okay, what did you back this week?
Well, this week I backed Thunderstone Quest, Back to the Dungeon. This is an expansion, and I did not use this as an excuse to back two games. I'm just backing this because it's a pretty big expansion. We talked about Thunderstone Quest a few episodes ago. We did a review of it. It's come up a bunch of times. Thunderstone has been around for a long, long time. This game, the original version, is huge, really big box. This particular campaign, you can get the original version, so you can get that huge big box, which is $100, and then the expansion, which adds more quests and adds solo play and co-op play, is a $50 extra add-on. So I decided that I really like the base game. Kitty, you have not yet played this with me, but I think you would really like it as well. So
I might. I haven't played it before. It looks very cool. It seems like this expansion is really interesting. It adds a lot of different more modes of play.
Yep. Well, and this is the thing where it's like if you like deck building games, but you're more into the co-op thing, this expansion turns this fantasy deck builder into a fantasy deck building co-op. So kind of like a Legendary Encounters-esque thing, but with cool heroes and such. So this is still on Kickstarter. It's still live until August 17th. Like I said, it's $50 for just the expansion if you already got the base game. If you just want the base game, that's $100. If you want them both, that's $150. That's Thunderstone Quest, Back to the Dungeon. What'd you get?
I backed Pumpkin Patch Bad Seeds. I talked about this last week on our Kickstarter edition episode. So if you want to hear more in depth, go check that out. This is you're planting spooky pumpkins while avoiding pesky crows. It's a quick playing card game. It looks really fun. It's got kind of a Halloween-y theme to it, but also looks like it's got some real interesting gameplay and mechanics for a quick playing, small footprint card game.
I love how the end condition of this game is plant the Cinderella pumpkin.
Yep.
Then the game is over. You made it.
Because, you know, she turned back into a pumpkin.
Yeah. And that's still live as well, isn't it?
It is. This one goes until August 9th. So you've got 6 days to back as you listen to this. It is only a $9 game. And that is Pumpkin Patch Bad Seeds.
Awesome. All right. So watching, these are games that we haven't backed but might back, but we think are interesting and kind of in our, you know, kind of interest group, plus anything that may come in from the listeners. I have to apologize to a few listeners. I just went through a bunch and all the Kickstarters that were mentioned, they were too close to ending. So they already ended before we get a chance to put them on here.
No.
So if you have, So if you have a Kickstarter to point out to us, give us a couple weeks, because sometimes it takes a little while to like rotate it into the show. So if it's going to end within the next 7 to 10 days, it might be tight. Sometimes I get them in, sometimes I don't.
Yeah, it can be close depending on when we record.
Yep. So this first one is called Call to Adventure, featuring Name of the Wind. Now, I think Name of the Wind is a fantasy setting that already exists, and this is an expansion to the Call to the Adventure game. This is a...
Is this the novel Name of the Wind?
I think it might be.
Yes, the world's largest and heaviest novel that I've ever attempted to read.
Did you read it?
And it's good. I read the first half of it like 3 times. And it's like The Stand by Stephen King, where like I like it and it's good. And I just get like slogged down and I can't keep reading the same thing for that long. And I'm a reader. What? But my brother loves this. Jack is a huge fan of The Name of the Wind. And he'll be really disappointed in me for still having not finished it.
Well, now you have me wondering, because I like fantasy world building stuff these days. But yeah, if it's a 44-hour, and we measure books in hours because we listen to them on Audible.
This is like an over 100-hour book.
Ouch. Okay. Yeah. Well, if you want a less than 100-hour experience, then you can take a look at Call to Adventure. So this is a 2-to-4-player tableau building game. Basically, what you're doing is you're building a hero. So you're going to get an origin card, you're going to get a motivation card, and you're going to get a destiny card. Now, the origin and motivation cards, these are kind of setting up special abilities that you will have. Your destiny card is going to be secret, and that's kind of your end game scoring bonuses. So it's essentially a point gathering game, but with a little bit of hidden information. And what you're trying to do is there are 3 different ages, and each age, there are 2 types of cards. There are trait cards, which you are going to take, and that's going to make you better. And then there are story cards, which have challenges on them. And you're going to attempt to complete the challenge, and if you do, you're going to get rewarded. Now, the way you complete the challenges are you have these runes. And these runes, there's 6 different ones, your standard strength, dex, con, int, wiz, and charisma. But they're double-sided, so they're kind of like tiles. So you toss the runes, and depending on the side that comes up is how effective they are. And your basic runes can be count as 1 or nothing. And then as you get better, it'll be 1 or something cool or something along those lines. When you get these story cards, they also tuck under your adventure and they beef you up as well. You're going to get 3 cards from each age, I believe. And then once all three ages are done, I guess they call them acts. All 3 acts are done. The person with the most points wins the game.
This looked really cool. I love that it kind of plays on the Joseph Campbell, like each hero has a journey and it takes into account that kind of story arc and gamifies it. And that was pretty cool. I also liked that it looks like you can either choose to be a good guy or a bad guy hero.
Yeah, they have these.
There was very like light, dark art styles.
Yeah, they have these hero cards. What do they call them? They're hero and anti-hero cards, which I think are like special quests or something that you can go on. And they score, depending on whether or not you are good or bad, you will score them in a positive or negative way. So I thought this one was pretty interesting. The only thing, and it's totally based on my mood. I'm going through and I'm like, this is so cool. Oh, but there's this random element. So if I want to like build my character, I'm going to try to do this story thing, but I'm going to toss these runes. But if I don't succeed, then I don't get the card. And that feels like a wasted turn. I don't know that's actually how it is. But for some reason, I decided to be against randomness while I was looking at it. But everything else was so cool about it that I'm like, I'm going to take it.
It looks really cool. And so how long do you have to back this one?
Let's see. August 13th is when it ends. You can get the core for $40. You can get the core plus the expansion, which is if you want to do it in that world, do it in that world. If you want to if you want to be in the Name of the Wind world, which is that the expansion, that one's going to be an extra $15. And then there's also a playmat you can get for an optional $20. That's Call to Adventure featuring Name of the Wind. This one is not as heavy that you're about to talk about.
No, it certainly is not, but it looks really fun. It is called Bears versus Lumberjacks. Bears versus Lumberjacks is an exciting, fast-paced, 2-to-3-player micro card game. It takes around 10 to 15 minutes to play. So this is a game where you have a card and you are either playing as the Bears or the Lumberjacks, and each card is divided into four spots, and it either has a scoring picture or a number in each corner of the card. And as you play it on the table, you want to put a higher number over a lower number, and you want your highest numbers touching scoring pictures, because those are how your points get counted at the end. It can be either one of your score pictures or your opponent's, doesn't matter. So you want to play your cards over your opponent's cards next to the pictures. It's real quick. It looks really fun. It is a style of game I haven't really played or seen very much of. And if you back it on Kickstarter, you get the Catacorn expansion, where you're a cat unicorn.
Which is cute also.
And it's a Kickstarter exclusive, yeah. And it got me. Well, this is really on my list of games to watch.
This one is actually kind of cool. It sort of reminds me of, instead of a dominoes, which is a 1x2, this is like a 2x2.
Yes, and, exactly.
And dominoes you play next to each other, but in this one you always have to be overlapping a corner. With the only rule being that the number that you overlap, the number you're putting on top has to be bigger than the number that you're overlapping.
And you can't overlap more than one number at a time.
Right.
So you're just covering one number with one number.
Yep. And the Kickstarter video on this is kind of, it's funny. It's funny, but
it's very silly.
It's silly. It's basically three people that are kind of doing backyard skits, I guess. Would be the way to talk about that. But apparently all of the people who back this are going to get a handmade plaid or flannel bag that holds the card set in.
Yes. So many flannel jokes. One of the rules is whoever wore flannel last gets to play first. it looks like a fun, just like a quick, easy play at a restaurant while you wait for your food kind of a game.
Yep. Yep. So this is cute. Let's see. This goes till the 17th.
Yes. And another $9 game.
You seem to like these $9 games.
I don't price them. Other people do.
You know what's funny? We go through. Oh yeah. Sorry. That is Bears versus Lumberjack.
Yes.
So we don't actually confer with each other with the games that we put on this list.
Yes.
I go out and find three and one to back. You go find three and one to back, and we review something. And I'm never concerned with saying, oh, I wonder if Kitty's going to back this one. I should double check, because we have such opposite tastes and price ranges.
It's true. And I looked at this next game you're about to talk about and said, not my thing. Well, I knew that you would look at it.
It has miniatures. So it does. This one is called Sabotage. Now, an asymmetric team-based hidden movement roll and write miniatures game. That's a lot of adjectives all into one sentence. I think that's still a sentence. But what Sabotage is it's sort of a modern battleship that you can play with 2v2. Or if you played Captain Sonar, it's a little bit like that. It's not as real time, but it's simultaneous. What you're trying to do is you're either the spies or the villains. And what's really funny to me is spies and villains. Like, I guess the villains are bad, so the spies are good. So you're spies for the good guys, or you're the villains trying to shoot the good guy spies, is what you get out of here. So the spies are trying to sneak around this 4x4 board, but it symbolizes a building of some sort. And they want to hack things 8 times. And the villains are trying to shoot the spies 5 times. That's awesome. The way this works is you're going to roll dice. These dice are going to allow you to do certain actions. If you do some kind of move action, then you have to give some information to the opposing team. Otherwise, you're just going to do your actions. You're going to keep kind of track of what they do. And when you are able to hack something, great. When the villains are able to shoot you, awesome. And you kind of say that out loud. The box actually turns into the separator between. So if you're sitting 2 people on one side and 2 people on the other, you put the box folds out and becomes this wall between you. And it just, there's a lot to the idea here that you can, it's a hidden movement game on top of that. Oh, they did put hidden movement. So there's just so much going on here.
There is a ton going on in this game. It is crazy looking. It was like too much for me to follow in my sleep deprived, addled brain. I was like, Chris is going to have to deal with this. They had a really fun video, though, where they had people sneaking around and all kinds of fun stuff. The art is really colorful and really, it reminds me a little bit of Spy versus Spy style, like, cartoony. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Spy versus Spy. It has a little bit of that 2D style, kind of like The Incredibles, where the women have like waists that are 2 inches wide and but super big V's and things like that. But I think this thing looks really, really cool. It's and it has miniatures. But yeah, the videos were funny
you
too.
Love miniatures, don't you? Always.
There's only 4 miniatures. They upgraded some of the upgrades for this are sticks so that you can put the walls on there because the building kind of changes shape each time. But if this sounds interesting to you, if you like hidden movement, you like versus, that's great. Now, let's say you don't like hidden movement, you against somebody else. There is also an app for this that turns this into a co-op where one or two people can play against the app who takes on the role of the villains and you take on the role of the spies. And then this becomes a full co-op at that point. So I thought that was a neat addition. This one goes till August 15th. It is $59. It is called Sabotage.
All right. This one looks really cool. This is The Curse of Misfortunate Lane. 2 to 5 player asymmetrical kids versus monster card game. Kids, press your luck, build your deck, and break the curse. Monster, stop them. So this is a really fun card game. The one person gets to choose to be the monster, and there are 3 monsters that they are picking from. And you don't know which monster they are, the kids. So then the kids get to choose their own characters too. And then during the day part, the kids go on these press your luck searches to find monster hunting tools. And at night, the monster tries to hide things to hide which monster it is and maybe lead the kids down a false path. And there's other kind of mischief the monster can do during the night phase. And once the kids decide they think they can take on the monster, they can do that. Or after 6 nights, it happens automatically. And there's a battle between the kids and the monsters where you have weapons and luck on the kids' side. And the monsters have kind of bad luck and other little things they can do on their side. And when you're doing your searches, you might run into adults who are going to try to stop you because the adults don't want to fight the monster anymore. They just want to hide out in the house. So
I thought this
one looks really fun.
Yeah, I thought this is the favorite of the ones that you picked. It's kind of funny because like that's where the pressure luck mechanic comes in. So you're searching, you're drawing these cards, and you can keep searching, I think. But when you hit an adult, then you lose something. Like the example here is a gym teacher, where if you hit the gym teacher, you have to discard all of your gym equipment.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, anything that you have, so you can say, okay, I'm not going to search anymore. At the end of each day, you can say, I'm going to store this in my treehouse, and then that's safe. And then you can go to the next day. But then the monster actually gets some extra things too, because every time that it's nighttime, the monster's going to do stuff. And the monster has to do some things that kind of give you the hint of what it is, but you're trying to figure out what monster are we fighting, because each of these items is better against one than the other. Luck is a generic thing, but you need a lot of luck, and even 7 luck only gives you 1 point of damage, where a weapon will give you 1 point of damage just being the right thing. So I thought this one looked awesome.
It looks really fun, and it reminded me a little bit of the Bubble Gumshoe RPG you bought the book and gave me. It has kind of a RPG feel where you're sitting playing a character and you've got like every one versus many feels almost like a DM versus players situation to me.
Yeah. Well, this actually seems like it would be a great, I mean, the game is kind of set up where someone plays the monster and the rest of the players play kids. But imagine like, you know, a parent playing with their kid and their friends or something like that. This is just like perfect for that, where you kind of take on those roles. But I don't think this is necessarily a kid's game. It's just themed as kids are the protagonist. That's right. Right. Protagonist.
Yeah. So it feels a little bit like a Stranger Things or something like that. But the art is much cutesier.
Yeah. Stranger Things is a great way to describe this, because you're trying to fight the monster, the adults aren't helping you, and you're trying to get everything you can to defeat the monster.
Yeah, you've got to go find your bat with the nails in it.
Yep.
All right, so this one goes to August 21st, and it is $24. And that is The Curse of Misfortunate Lane. Misfortune Lane. I said it wrong the first time, and I tried to do it again. Let's say it again the right way. The Curse of Misfortune Lane.
Well, just in case, all of these links are in the show notes. So if any of these things sounds interesting, just scroll down and you can link to it. Because I don't pronounce anything correctly. And every once in a while, Kitty gets things wrong.
Yeah. Every more and more frequently. We're teething over here. The baby has decided that sleep is not his friend anymore.
Well, that's how it starts.
All right.
Speaking of not sleeping, the next one here is Run, Fight, or Die Reloaded. So by Reloaded, I think this is just another name for a second edition or a reprint or something along those lines. It is a complete reboot of the popular Run, Fight, or Die dice game by Richard Lannis of Arkham Horror fame. Now, this, normally I am not a zombie game person. I am normally not a random dice rolling person. And I looked at this and I'm like, well, it has a lot of backers. It's Gray Fox Games, and I love Gray Fox Games in general. So I'm going to take a closer look at this. I think as I went through this, I'm like, I need to own this game.
I think it's so funny because you were just saying that the randomness of the other game threw you off when this one has like your least favorite mechanic, the Yahtzee mechanic.
No. That's not my least favorite mechanic. Role player just doesn't use that mechanic.
I didn't say it used the Yahtzee mechanic. I said that it was like Yahtzee. It's different.
All right. If you have no idea what we're talking about, go back to episode 4 of Tabletop Game Talk and just keep listening forward and it'll be a reoccurring thing.
You'll get there
eventually.
30 episodes later, you'll understand what we're talking about.
Be all good. So what this game here is, it's a push your luck game. And yeah, it does employ the Yahtzee mechanic almost directly. Almost. So what happens is you can roll the dice, and you have 5 dice you're rolling, and you can re-roll them. But each die has a search icon, a map icon, a bat icon, a run icon, a gun icon, and a zombie. Now, the zombie, if that's up, you can't re-roll that. That's stuck. But the other ones you can re-roll as many times as you want. Well, not as many times. Up to 3 times. So the first one's a roll, second, 2 re-rolls. You get the idea. It's Yahtzee.
Yeah. It's Yahtzee.
It's Yahtzee. Now, why are you rolling these dice? Good question. You have a survivor. And so you have a survivor board in front of you, and they have player powers on there. And then there's a area in beyond, above your player card, that's 3 different zones. There's a near, mid, and far. So I think it's zone 1, 2, and 3. You are trying to kill all the zombies before they get to you. And you do that by doing damage to them. So if you roll a baseball bat, that's going to be able to kill 1 zombie at range 1. If you roll a gun, you can kill 1 zombie at any range. Now, those are the ways to get rid of zombies, but you also have player abilities and cards. You can also find survivors. So if you get a search icon, you can draw an item card if you get 1 search icon. If you get 2 search icons, you can draw a follower card. And for each search icon above 2, you draw an extra follower card and pick the one you want. Followers give you abilities, and if you take damage, you can have the damage be done to your followers. Remember, you don't have to run fastest, you just can't run the slowest. So getting some extra people to run slower than you is good. Now, if you have a map icon, you can reveal locations. And this is kind of clever how they do this. So 1 map icon, you have to draw a location, and you have to do the bad effect on that location. If you get 2 map icons, you draw the location, and you do the good and bad effect on it. And if you get 3, you draw the map, and you get to do the good thing. So I might want to go for maps, but if I fall short, I'm still going to have to do this bad thing. But if my last roll is a map, and I just only have 1 map, then oops, now I have to deal with this bad thing on this location. You keep playing this, and it's back and forth. So there's, as far as I know, there's nothing you can do to affect the other players. Maybe there is, but you're kind of all in this thing fighting against each other. But you want to be the person with the most health at the end of the game. And the game ends when you draw 3 survivors that are infected. Whenever you draw a location that is the town, like the town line, so you can't go back any further, or if 1 person dies, then the game immediately ends. Person with the most life wins.
So is this like a semi-co-op? Are you guys working together and then the person with the most wins, or is it a direct competition? I couldn't really get the feel for...
I think it is more, and I don't want to say this as a bad thing, because I don't think that this is a bad thing, and this is actually probably one of the reasons why I like this. It feels like a multiplayer solitaire. So you're all basically fighting your own...
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. You're all fighting your own swarm of zombies. The only thing that's common is a boss zombie can come out, and then everybody can do damage to the boss zombie, and everyone gets a victory point. Anyone who does a point of damage to the zombie gets a victory point. So there is that, and there may be cards and items that affect other things. Oh, there's a run icon on the dice as well, and when you run, you can move a zombie backwards, and if you move it off of your tile, you move it onto... the tile to your player's left. So it's not like you can pick the person, it always goes to the left. So there are some minor ways of affecting other people, but it's a push your luck with not much of a take that, which really kind of drew me to this.
Seems a little tower defense almost, with everything kind of coming at you and you want to kill it before it gets to you.
That's a really good description of it. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Awesome.
So this goes till August 21st. The base game is $49. For an extra $10, you get a bunch more zombies, some special zombies in there, so like some mutant zombies. And it takes the game from a 2-4 to up to 6 players can play on it.
So, of course, you got that one.
Well, right now I'm just
watching
it.
Oh, you're watching.
But
we're
of course,
only watching now.
Yeah, but, I will get that one. Because so this is a spoiler. Well, again... we're recording the day this show drops is the same day we're recording at Gen Con. So Gen Con's not going to be a normal like live show talk about Gen Con. We're going to actually talk about a topic and we're going to have the audience involved. And the topic is, why do you buy a game? And I'm going to bring this up during that topic episode because this is a game I'm going to buy and I have very specific reasons for why I'm going to buy it. So that is Run, Fight, or Die Reloaded.
All right. And as always, we end with a Kickstarter game that was backed, received, and played. So this week, it is sort of a Kickstarter. We are talking about Hanzi, or Hanzi, however you say this word. It is spelled H-A-N-Z-I. And this was part of the Deepwater Games founding pack that I got when I backed Herbalism.
Yep.
So this one had kind of a difficult travel through the Kickstarter world where they printed all the games at once and somehow this one didn't get printed, so it got shipped late. So it just arrived this week. And as soon as I got it, I saw it was for 2-5 players. So I made Spencer play it with me. And this feels like playing Memory, like the kids game, but there's more to it. So you have tiles that you are laying out and they have symbols on them and you're trying to create Chinese characters. So you're looking at the symbols and trying to flip over two that match one of the three you have in front of you. And if you get your two matches with the card in front of you, then you get to take those. And one of them will be a scorecard where you get 2 points. And one of them has an ability that you put into your hand. So you can swap character cards with the person, with other players. You can get extra little bits. You can do all kinds of kind of player interaction stuff instead of just playing Memory once you have these cards that you match. And if you lose, you don't get your match, then you get a extra tile that you can spend to flip 3 cards instead of 2.
So, okay. So each tile, though, each set of 2, one ability, one for scoring. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. Keep going.
So you have 3 cards in front of you. You're trying to find these matches. And with 2 players, it felt... not like we didn't use a lot of the interaction. We didn't use a lot of the cards. Maybe that was just the way me and Spencer were playing. We were just trying to figure out where the pieces were that we wanted. And the thing is, all of the tablets in front of you, they call them, have a little unique symbol on the back. So I feel like if you keep playing this, eventually you might remember like, oh yeah, these two are the ones I need to make tail, or this one is mother. I remember that it's got the dots on it. So I feel like if you're trying to play somebody who's played a bunch before and you're a new player, they have a total leg up on you. But because it's memory, everyone's flipping tiles. You get to see what's going on if you can remember where everything is. But as they're picked up, you bring out new tiles. And it seems like it would be a lot more fun with more players. I bet it plays better at 5 than it did at 2. Because with 2, it just felt like we weren't seeing enough of the board. We weren't getting to the second age cards very quickly. And it went kind of slow. Whereas I feel like with 5 players, it would move through the deck a lot faster.
So memory, that's also teaching you Chinese.
Sure.
Okay.
I think that all the symbols are correct. They're all kind of, it's like a calligraphy style.
I would hope that all the symbols are correct.
I would assume so. They seem like a good game company. I can't confirm because I sure don't know.
Well, I am going to put a link directly to the website on here because, again, the Kickstarter that this came with, they didn't describe this game. It was a bonus game. Trust us. Give us more money and we'll send you some cool games in the future, which is what happened here. So we're going to put a link directly to the site here. It does look pretty cool. It's only $15. And there seems to be a lot of tiley things here. Would you play it again? And did you try the solo version of it?
I would play it again with more players. I tried the solo version. And maybe I'm just not very good at the game yet. But I felt like the solo version just kicked my butt. And there was no way that I was going to be able to win. But the weird thing about the solo version, it's not just a solo version. You can also use that mechanic. So basically you have the figure that in a regular game is just kind of passed on your turn. So it's my turn, I have the guy, and then you pass it along. So the
first player marker.
Yeah. And in this one, you put it on top of one of the cards. And whenever somebody takes a turn, the card under the figure gets discarded and the figure moves. And if the card underneath the figure is a score, that becomes the figure's score.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a neat way to do it, though, because you're kind of pressing your luck as to where you want to put the figure.
Yes.
Because you want to put it someplace where you don't need it. But if you put it someplace randomly, you could be giving him points.
And you might be losing some of the characters in front of you because if you discard a character that you have, you can no longer make that match. That card gets discarded and a new one comes out.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is Hansi or Hansi.
Yep.
Something like that. There's some accents on there and we're American, so we don't know how to say those. But that is pretty cool. And that is our show for today.
All right.
So take us out.
Thanks for listening. The Kickstarter edition is produced by Tabletop Game Talk Studios, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Be sure to check out our on-topic episodes anywhere you find your podcasts or at tabletopgametalk.com. You can follow us on Facebook at /Tabletop Game Talk Podcast, Twitter at TabletopGameTLK. I'm at LawfulGoodMom, and Chris is at GameMasterChris. If you have a Kickstarter you think we should check out, email us at Kickstarter@TabletopGameTalk.com. And finally, a huge thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jiljam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, and the SGC.
Until next week, keep playing games and having fun.